Good morning and welcome to All Saints Forum in Atash Green. This is our first Sunday back in church since Christmas, and it's great to see you here this morning. Well done for remembering that the clocks have gone forward and being here on time. Welcome also if you're watching or listening online. Today is Palm Sunday, when we focus our attention on the events leading up to Jesus' death and resurrection. We're going to hear a number of readings from Mark's Gospel, and today's teaching will come in short sections as we enter into the story of Jesus' journey to the cross. As we go through, you might find it helpful to have two questions in mind. Who is Jesus? And what is the meaning of his death on the cross for you personally? These questions take us to the heart of Christianity. It'd be helpful to have a Bible to hand, either a book copy or a digital copy. And there's a structure for today's service on page 4 of the notice sheet. Let's bow our heads to pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we've come together today to remember the events leading up to your Son Jesus' death for us on the cross. We ask that you help us now to put aside the things that we brought with us in our hearts and minds. Maybe things that are troubling us or things that we need to get done. We lay them aside, Father, and we ask for the gift of your Holy Spirit to help us to listen to your word and to understand its meaning for our lives. We seek your blessing on our gathering so that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. We've been apart for a long time, and many are still participating from home. Please help us as we look to reform as your church. And may you be glorified through our community. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. On the seats are palm crosses. We begin as the Jerusalem crowds celebrate Jesus, the long-awaited King. And we're going to worship Jesus together using words from Mark chapter 11. These are printed at the top of page 2 in the notice sheet, and they'll also appear on the screen. So I invite you to hold your cross up high as we worship Jesus together. When the disciples brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches. Others spread branches they cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. We aren't permitted to sing in the building yet, but for those watching at home, I encourage you to sing out and praise God. Our first hymn is, "You Are the King of Glory."
You are the Prince of Peace. You are the King.
Please would you teach us, Heavenly Father. May we know you more. Amen. So as Jesus approached Jerusalem on the donkey colt, many people worked together to make a royal pathway before him. Some took off their cloaks and laid them on the road. Others cut branches in the fields and spread them in front of him. This event reminds us of the words that Mark used to begin his book about Jesus in Mark chapter 1. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. The crowd prepared a pathway for Jesus. They celebrated him. It was a royal pathway as Jesus, the long-awaited king, approached his city, Jerusalem. And consider the words that they shouted. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They understood Jesus as a prophet, coming in God's name, a spokesman for God. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. They understood Jesus to be reinstating the kingdom of the famous King David. These are royal shouts. Together with the cloaks and branches, they express the expectation that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, coming to Jerusalem. On that first Palm Sunday, the crowd celebrated Jesus as a coming king. But as we continue to listen to Mark's gospel, we find that in just a few days' time, the atmosphere is very different. Another crowd gathers, but this time the crowd is shouting a different word. Not Hosanna, which was a shout of praise to Jesus the Savior. Not Hosanna, but crucify. How did the story change from celebration to execution in such a short time? Our second reading is from Mark chapter 14, and Ali Reza is going to read that to us. Ali, welcome back from uni. Good to have you with us today.
The reading is Mark chapter 14, verses 12 to 26. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me?" "It is one of the 12," he replied. Excuse me. "One who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
The Passover meal was a Jewish act of remembering. Each year, this special meal took the Jewish people back into their history, to the first Passover, when God rescued them out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses. Cups of wine were drunk, bitter herbs were eaten to remind them of their slavery, and the Passover lamb was eaten. The meal took them back to the night of the first Passover, when God instructed each household to kill and eat a lamb. He instructed them to paint the blood of the lamb onto the doorframe of the house as a sign. As promised, that first Passover night, God brought the final 10th plague on Egypt. After the plagues, including blood and frogs and hail, this was the most terrible plague of all. That night, God's angel passed through Egypt, killing the firstborn son in every household. But he passed over the houses which had the lamb's blood on their doorframes. The lamb had already died for the household in place of the firstborn. Finally, after this 10th plague, Pharaoh ordered Moses and Aaron, "Up, leave my people, you and the Israelites." So the Passover meal was an annual reminder of the Jewish people's liberation and redemption from slavery in Egypt. 1,500 years later, Jesus is celebrating the Passover with his disciples in the city of Jerusalem. But this is a Passover meal like none before it, because Jesus gives it a new meaning, using it to explain his going to the cross. Jesus broke the bread, as was the tradition in the meal. But he said that this was about him, verse 22. "Take it, this is my body." Jesus took one of the traditional cups of wine in the meal, probably the third or fourth cup, and said that this part of the meal was talking about him, verse 24. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." What Jesus was doing at that moment was quite remarkable. And if he was not a true prophet from God, if he wasn't the Son of Man and the Son of God, then it was an outrageous and blasphemous thing to do. Jesus was communicating that he and his death were the fulfillment of that ancient Passover. He was showing his core disciples the meaning of his death, which would take place the following day. In Egypt, the Passover lamb died to redeem the Israelites from God's plague of judgment on Egypt. And in doing this, the Israelites were brought out of slavery into freedom. By making the Passover meal about himself, Jesus was showing us that his death on the cross was a new redemption. He died not because a mistake was made in the Roman legal system. No. His death was a pouring out of his life for many. His death was about a new redemption, a new exodus from sin and death for his followers. So Jesus made the Passover meal about himself. And this coming Maundy Thursday at 7:30 p.m., we'll be remembering Jesus' Last Supper, his last Passover, together in the Eight Ash Green Church. Do come and join us. With our next song, we remember that Jesus showed his love when he shed his precious blood for us. Here is love, vast as the ocean.
As the flood, when the prince of life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who is love will not remember. And on the mount of crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide. Through the flood gates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide, and grace and
The second reading is taken from Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning at verse 32. Gethsemane, take this cup from me. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to them, "are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer."
After the Passover meal, Jesus goes with his disciples to a garden called Gethsemane, and he becomes deeply troubled. He says to Peter, James, and John, his three closest disciples, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." We already know from the Passover meal that Jesus is expecting to die. He understands his death to be of great meaning and significance. His deep distress is explained in the meaning of his prayer in verse 36. "Take this cup from me." Imagine that while Jesus is hanging on the cross, he's given a cup to drink by God the Father. It's a cup of judgment. Jesus is going to drink down the judgment of our sins. It's a cup of humiliation. Death by crucifixion was a truly shameful way to die, killed as a criminal on public display. The cup is a picture of what Jesus is about to experience and do for our benefit. Humiliation before Jewish and Roman society, judgment from God the Father. Jesus is filled with sorrow at the awful ordeal that's before him. And he asks God to take this cup from him. But he finishes his prayer. Yet not what I will, but what you will. And in this, there's a model of submission for those of us who follow Jesus. Not my will, God, but your will be done. And this is what we say every time we pray the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. This is the way to pray as we go through the Christian life. We bring our requests to God, what we will, but with the submissive attitude, not what I will, but what you will. May God empower us to follow Jesus' example in submitting to the will of God, even when it's very costly for us. We come to our next reading.
The next reading is taken from Mark, chapter 14, verses 43 to 50. Betrayal, arrested and deserted. Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, Rabbi, and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Am I leading a rebellion, said Jesus, that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. Then everyone deserted him and fled.
Jesus has been betrayed by one of his closest followers, one of the inner 12. Judas greets him with a kiss of friendship. Rabbi, teacher. But this was the signal for the men with Judas to arrest Jesus. Jesus was betrayed by his close companion. But he doesn't command his followers to fight in his defense. Am I leading a rebellion that you've come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Jesus is ready to walk in God's will for him, even to the horror of the cross. But it's not the same for his disciples. Verse 50. Everyone deserted him and fled. And in them, maybe you recognize yourself. If you'd been there, would you have done any different? Would I have acted differently? Sadly, I doubt it. And so this is a good moment for us to say sorry to God for our weaknesses in following Christ. The words of confession are on the notice sheet on page 2 and will also appear on the screen. When I say, Lord, forgive us, please reply, Christ, have mercy. Let's bow our heads for a moment of quiet. Lord Jesus Christ, we confess we failed you as did your first disciples. We ask for your mercy and your help. Our selfishness betrays you. Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. We fail to share the pain of your suffering. Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. We run away from those who abuse you. Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. We are afraid of being known to belong to you. Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. May Almighty God, who sent his Son into the world to save sinners, bring you his pardon and peace, now and forever. Amen. As we focus on Jesus' journey to the cross 2,000 years ago, we see that his death was the vaccine that protects and saves us from the virus of sin. Our next song reminds us that Jesus was slain for sinners, sinners like us. So when we say sorry for our failures, we can have confidence that God hears us and forgives us. There is a Redeemer. Continue in worship with words from Paul's letter to the Philippians. And these show us Jesus' servant nature in going to the cross. Will you please stand? Christian people, together we remember Jesus' journey to the cross. We say together, though he was divine, he did not cling to equality with God, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a slave. He was born in human likeness. He humbled himself and was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Ali's going to lead us in our prayers.
Begin with the collect, which is on page 3, I believe, of the notice sheet, and then we'll get on with the rest of the prayers. Almighty and everlasting God, who in your tender love towards the human race, sent your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Grant that we may follow the example of his patience and humility, and also be made partakers of his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. As we begin our prayers, let us think about how we may pray in the same way as Jesus did in Gethsemane, that we would present our requests to God, but with the attitude that his will be done and not ours. Father God, we thank you for saving us. We thank you that without you, that even though without you we would be nothing, Lord, that you loved us and that you chose to save us, not because of anything that we've done, but through the death of Jesus and resurrection on the cross. Father God, first we thank you for some things going on locally. We thank you that Fordham Church has reopened, and we thank you for all those who are here today. Father, we pray that as we come out of the whole lockdown situation and as things start to go back to what may seem like normal, Father, we pray that people would be encouraged and have a desire to come back, and that soon enough we may be able to gather as a whole church family once again in full. Father, we pray for wisdom for the PCC as they decide how things will move forward. We just pray for wisdom for them. Father, we thank you for the post office that will be open in the JOB, I think on Fridays. We thank you that this is a service that the church can provide for the community. And I pray that it would glorify you as we serve in the community, Lord, and that people would benefit from it. And Father, we pray for the youth minister that Fordham is looking for. Father, we pray that you would raise up the right man to come and take up this role, and that whoever he is, that he would feel led and called to this place to be able to work with our youth and families and to encourage them and help them mature. Now we take some time to think about and pray for those who we know are grieving or who are facing illness or who are lonely. Lord, we pray that they would know your love and know you and know your presence, and that for those who are Christian, that they would recognize that they are never truly alone because you are with them. And for those who aren't, that those who know them who are Christian would be able to share your love and grace with them. So we just take some time to think of those who are in that position. Father, we now pray for some things going on in our nation. Father, we thank you for the government, and we pray that your wisdom would flow through them and that they would make the right decisions on the variety of things that they are responsible for, whether it be the health service or other bills that are going through at the moment, and that they would have wisdom and do things that would align with your will and not evil. Father, we thank you for the result of the judicial review in Scotland about the ban on worship. Father, we thank you that Lord Braid decided that actually the ban was unlawful, and we pray that as churches meet together again in Scotland, that the congregations there would be encouraged, and that your Holy Spirit would work in them and through them in the community. And Father, we pray for organisations such as Christian Concern, Care and the Christian Institute as they work in public life to influence the politics of our nation so that policies would be put in place that would aid human flourishing and that would be matching up to biblical values. Father, we now pray for the world. We know that we live in a fallen world, but we thank you that you are good and that you have mercy on us. Father, we pray for those in Myanmar with the unrest there. And we also pray for the Uyghur people in China with all the horrible things that are happening to them. We pray for the world leaders as they deal with that and put sanctions on China so that the Uyghur people would be able to be free. And we pray for persecuted Christians around the world. We thank you for Open Doors and other organisations that work to protect those who are persecuted, especially those in North Korea, for example, or Iran or Pakistan. So we just pray for our brothers and sisters around the world that you would make yourself known to them and show your love and help them to know that you are with them, even in those most difficult times, especially in those most difficult times. We pray all of these things in your name, Lord, and now we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you. It's now going to bring us our next reading from Mark chapter 14.
The reading continues in Mark chapter 14 at verse 53. They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, elders, and teachers of the law came together. Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. There he sat with the guards and warmed himself by the fire. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any. Many testified falsely against him, but their statements did not agree. Then some stood up and gave this false testimony against him. We heard him say, I will destroy this man-made temple, and in 3 days we'll build another, not made by man. Yet even then their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? I am, said Jesus, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. The high priest tore his clothes. Why do we need any more witnesses? He asked. You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? They all condemned him as worthy of death. Then some began to spit at him. They blindfolded him, struck him with their fists, and said, prophesy. And the guards took him and beat him.
Chapter 15, verses 1 to 15. Jesus' trial before the Roman governor Pontius Pilate. The Jerusalem crowds condemn Jesus. Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin reached a decision. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Are you the king of the Jews? Asked Pilate. Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of. But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now it was the custom of the feast to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the King of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified.
A few days before, the crowds had shouted, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now, in front of Pilate's judgment seat, a different crowd called out a different shout, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" We do not need to assume that this was the same crowd of people who welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem. No, this is the crowd led by the Jewish establishment, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, members of the ruling Jewish council called the Sanhedrin. The difference between the Palm Sunday shout and the Good Friday shout shows how deeply Jesus divided public opinion. One group wants him to become king, the other group wants him dead. Jesus' behavior at these two trials is quite remarkable. In response to his accusers, he makes next to no defense of himself. This fits with his understanding that his death was necessary for a greater good. When the high priest asks him directly, "Are you the Christ?" Jesus does give a reply. "I am, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Jesus is quoting a prophecy from the Old Testament book of Daniel, a prophecy about a mysterious figure called the Son of Man who appears before God's throne and is given power and authority to rule. Jesus is saying that he is that Son of Man prophesied by Daniel. For the chief priest, that is all that is needed to show that Jesus is a blasphemer worthy of death. So Jesus is turned over to Pilate, and Pilate, wanting to keep the crowd happy, handed Jesus over to be crucified. A couple of questions for you to consider as we come towards the end of our time together. If you'd been at those two trials, what would your conclusion have been about who Jesus is? And today, do you see Jesus' death as a way of redemption for you personally? Or is he someone that you can leave behind in history? Our final song helps us to reflect on the meaning of Jesus' death, how deep the Father's love for us.
The Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son and make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many. these sons to glory. Behold the man upon his cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love shown to us in giving your precious Son for us. Thank you for his journey to the cross. And we've considered what a difficult path that was. Thank you that he suffered pain and humiliation that we might be made right with you. And thank you that it's here that we see your love for us, that you really do want relationship with us. So we put our trust in the Lord Jesus afresh. We look to his cross as our means of redemption and our exodus from sin and death. Thank you for your great mercy to us. Amen. Well, we're coming to the end of this service and a few items of church family news. Great to see you here in person after so long. And I look forward to seeing many of you online and also those watching at home for our virtual coffee this morning, 11:30 till 12:30. We'll have time to connect. I'm afraid to say that the regulations mean we're not meant to socialize in the building or outside. But I think that changes from tomorrow, actually. So over the Easter weekend, we'll be able to socialize in two family units. But we can't today, sadly. So I look forward to seeing you online for our virtual coffee. The All Saints Club will meeting this afternoon, 3 p.m. for 4 to 11-year-olds, 4 p.m. for 11 to 15-year-olds. And then the club will be taking a break for the Easter holidays. Our Easter window trail begins today and runs for a week with a children's competition to win an Easter egg. All the details are on the church website, along with a map showing where windows can be found which have letters in them for the Easter competition. So you find all the letters, make the Easter word, and then enter it on the form and return it to the John Owen Barn by the 6th of April. You'll be put into the prize draw for the Easter egg. And we continue to explore the Easter story with four services over the coming 2 weeks. This week, on Maundy Thursday, 7:30 p.m., we'll be at the 8 Ash Green Church. Together we'll remember Jesus' Last Supper, eating bread and wine, which will be prepared in a COVID-safe way. The Good Friday service will be online only, available through the website from 12 noon. I will lead that, and we'll be hearing three Good Friday reflections from Bishop Rod Thomas. And on Easter Sunday, we'll have an in-person celebration service here at Fordham Church. It's just been announced that we're going to be able to sing in the church grounds, just announced a couple of days ago. So I hope that we may be able to sing together after the service in the churchyard, and I'll give you some details about that over the coming days. Bob Wheeler's funeral will be this Wednesday, and the link to watch the live stream is in today's notice sheet. In preparation for our annual meeting, which is at the beginning of May, the electoral roll opens today for new people to join. The electoral roll is, if you like, our church membership. Eligibility details are in the notice sheet today on page 7, and please do contact the church office if you would like an application form. This year, Word Alive will only be online in the week after Easter. All the content's free, which is great. So I encourage you to have a look and see if there's something you'd like to join in on from your sofa. The web address is in the notice sheet. Okay, well, we're going to finish by saying the grace together. Would you please stand? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.